unfortunately, we have several pressing situations. I'm not going to be able to stay, but it is a splitter for me to introduce Rabbi Neuberger Shlita. In this past, in Parshas Hayigash, this past week's Parsha, we read about the Bnei Yaakov coming down to Mitzrayim, and there is a celebrated Rashi on Bereishis Perek Mevav Pasuk Ches, which the Torah the Hakadosh tells us, "Ves Yehuda Shalach L'Panav Al Yosef L'Horos L'Panav Goshna Vayavohu Arz Goshen." Yaakov Avinu sends Yehuda ahead of him to Yosef down to Mitzrayim. He's the vanguard. He heads down before the rest of the family. L'Horos L'Panav Goshna. Rashi, according to the Medrash, says the word L'Horos is a language of Misham Teitze Hora. It's a language of learning Torah. Yehuda was sent before the rest of family to set up what they medrash to make sure there would be a place for Torah learning and a place for Hora'a when the Jews headed down to Mitzrayim. Of course, the message that lies right underneath the medrash is that when we head into Galus, when we face challenges, when we face a Sarah, as the Bnei Yisrael would, as Yaakov Avinu knew already from the Nebuah of Abraham Avinu, from the first man of Sarin, the Bnei Yisrael were going to head into servitude, slavery for Eretz Lahem in a foreign land. It's critical that we have Torah learning. Torah learning is what sustains us in Galus. Torah learning is what sustains us through Eis Tzara. And that's been critical in this particular Eis Tzara as well. A while back on Parshas Noach, right, when we were still contemplating everything that was happening, it suggested that one of the critical fronts of this war that Klal Yisrael is engaged in is the Ohelei Sheim, are the tents of shame, the tents of Torah, that Yaakov Avinu recognized were critical for any moment in which Klal Yisrael faces foreign enemies. And today, when we have an opportunity to learn a little bit extra, because those of us in Chutz La'aretz do have a legal holiday today, those of us in Galus do have a legal holiday, it's critical that we do so and embrace the extra learning and recognize that it's a critical component of our response to a moment of tzara. We have an immense chutz to hear from Rabbi Neuberger this morning. Rabbi Neuberger is an incredible rabbinic figure, a rabbinic leader. He's brought immense Torah and leadership to the White Shul in Farakaway. I consider his presence here a little bit of a rabbinic exchange. I'm originally from Farakaway. My grandfather was a gabbai in the White Shul. And Rabbi Neuberger, of course, started it here in Bergen County and is now coming back. So we have different trajectories, different directions. But it's wonderful to hear Torah from him. I will say on a personal level, that not only is Rabbi Neuberger a great rabbinic leader on a personal level, for me, he was one of the older bachurim in the Beis Medrash when I was in the YU Beis Medrash. And he was a role model, somebody for me to look up to. When I was able to look around and see people who were just slightly ahead of me and setting a path of Torah mitzvos, of teaching Torah, of Torah leadership, it was very inspiring for me to have those figures in the base measures, and it was very formative for my own experience. So it is a great schus for us to hear Torah this morning from Rabbi Neuberger. Without further ado, Mati Shlita. Thank you all for joining us this morning and for giving me this opportunity to share the Divrei Torah with all of you. Thank Danny Sachs and Avira Linsky for facilitating this and for all of you coming together to learn together a little bit on this day that we have a little bit more time. And as Rabbi Schreier mentioned, for me this is a little bit of a homecoming. When I was growing up, Bergenfield was not on the map yet. He said to someone that you're from Bergenfield, they asked you what state that's in. So I grew up telling people I'm from Teaneck. Now, recently, I tell people I'm from Teaneck, and they say, well, what street? And I tell them, they say, well, that's in Bergenfield, I'm from Teaneck. So it's been a little bit of a transition there, but I'll tell you that growing up in Bergenfield, there was certainly no late minion. And for a teenager, a late minion is very, very important. And therefore, I found my home here in Bnei Yisur and in these four walls. And it's a tremendous chus for me to be able to come back and to learn with all of you. You may be somewhat fearful and daunted by the amount of marmachemes that I gave out. And that shouldn't be an indication of the length of the shir, although I will tell you that when I asked Danny whether I should be speaking in halacha, Lamdus, or Agada, Drush, claims that he said a little bit of both. All I heard was both. So for me, I prepared two shiurim, and I don't know how much time you have, but we'll try to combine them. But I gave you a lot of the mekairis here, so if you want to do any further understanding, further research, you'll be able to have the mekairis in front of you. And the truth is that when thinking about a topic for the past few months, whether it be to speak in my shul or elsewhere, there's really nothing else to discuss than what is on the center of our minds, the forefront of our minds and in our hearts, and that is the Esara that Kal Yisrael is in. And when we are totally consumed and preoccupied, as we should be, so our Limud HaTorah takes us there as well. And I hope that just like when it comes to other aspects of Limud HaTorah, we say, Unishalmo Parim Sifaseinu, that the Rabbeinu Shalom considers our Limud HaTorah in specific areas to be as if we are being Mekayim that area. It's true when it comes to Karbonos. It's true when it comes to other areas of Talmud Torah. It should be true with regards to the Mochama that Klal Yisrael is engaged in as well. And we should have a Zechos of Unishalma Parim Sfaseinu. We are not Zeiche to take part in the Melchemes Hashem that is going on right now in a physical way. But our Limud HaTorah today should be certainly as a Zechos, but much more than a Zechos. It should be the spiritual energy which drives Klal Yisrael this very, very difficult times. And that's really the essence of what I wanted to discuss with you today. But I wanted to do so through the lens of a very, very detailed halacha, a nuance in Hilchos Milchama, a nuance which I'm sure has crossed your minds over the past few months. But I think it opens up an entire understanding, perhaps, an entire perspective on Milchama beyond that which we normally appreciate. And that is from the parsha in Masechet Parshas Baalaisa. We know that there is a mitzvah in the Torah. The Torah tells us, you have it in Maramakum number one. There's a mitzvah in the Torah during Milchama to blow Chatzotzreis. That Klal Yisrael not only blows Chatzotzreis when they gather together, they don't only blow Chatzotzreis during the time of Hakrovas Hakrabanos. All mitzvahs are saved me the Araisa. But the Torah tells us in no uncertain terms in Parshas Baalaisa, Maramakum 1, V'chisavayu milchama be'artzichem al hatzor hatzoyreschem v'harayosim b'chatzoyreschem. You should blow chatzoyreschem when you're attacked, when you're engaged in a fierce battle. V'nizkartem lifnei Hashem. These chatzoyreschem will bring a memory of you up towards the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And will lead quite literally to your salvation. The Torah tells us the approach to battle. The Torah tells us our key to success. There's no unclarity, no ambiguity here. Vin is kardim lifnei Hashem, you'll blow these chatzotzreis. Vin is kardim lifnei Hashem, v'noyishatem me'oyveichem, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is going to save you. Of course, the Sifri tells us that it's not only the Eis Sara of Milchama, as the Pasuk would indicate, but in fact, it's all Eis Saras. All Shas Saras are marked in Klal Yisrael by a Tekiyas Chatzotzreis, by the blowing of a Chatzotzreis, as the Sifri tells you in Maramakom number 2. An Eis Sara, particularly the Eis Sara of Milchama, is requires a response from Klal Yisrael. Part of that response ought to be the response of Tekiyas Chatzotzreis, v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem, which will then bring the Zechira in front of the Rabbeinu Shalom, v'noyishatem me'oyvech, which obviously leads to the question that you're all wondering, and it's the question that the Magen Avraham wonders, and that is, why have we not heard any Chatzotzreis? Kal Yisrael is certainly in an Eis Sara. Kal Yisrael is certainly engaged in a Melchemes Mitzvah. The Torah says, quite black and white, there's no ambiguity here. It's not a Gemara, it's not a Machlokes, it's a Torah, Akdoshah, Marishna Rabbeinu came down and said, when you're engaged in battle, you blow Chatzotzreis. Where are our Chatzotzreis? And this is an entire Sugya Bifnei Atzmah. Magen Avraham brings up, why have we not blown Chatzotzreis? What happened to Jewish history that began this new custom of ignoring this mitzvah saseh, midah araisa? When did this custom of not blowing chatzotzreis, how far can we back date it? The Geonim,
right after Chasima Satalmud, you have the Savirahim, then you have the Ge'oinim. The Ge'oinim were still blowing Shofar, still blowing Chatzaisus Be'esar. So during the time of the Rishonim, for some reason, this fell out of practice, and the Magen Avraham wonders, why is this the case? And again, many, many different answers, much discussion, much ink has been spilled on this question. And my objective today is not to address this question in a comprehensive way. There are those that say it's only a mitzvah when there's a Beis HaMikdash. Take a look at the Chinuch. The Chinuch says the mitzvah of Chatzotzeres is only Bifnei Habayis. There are those that say the Chatzotzeres must be blown by Kohanim Miyuchosim. And Bizman Hazeh, we don't have Kohanim Miyuchosim. There are those that suggest perhaps Chatzotzeres is specific types of Chatzotzeres. Chatzotzeres that we don't know how to make Bizman Hazeh, and therefore it fell out of practice. The answers abound, many, many different suggestions. But what I want to discuss, and you have many of them given to you in your Ma'am Mekoymas, but what I wanted to discuss is the suggestion, one of the suggestions of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, because again, I think it opens a window to a much broader perspective on all Mulchamos, and particularly the Mulchama that Klal Yisrael is engaged in right now. If you take a look at Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Sefer on Orachayim, Maruk Tziyam, Aramachim number 6, Rabbi Yaakov Emden asks this question of the Magen Avraham himself, and he says, V'nirali Pashuk, She'eino mitzvahs asei el be'eretz Yisrael bilvad. He says, you know why we don't blow Chatzotzeres during Eis Tzara anymore? Because our Eis Tzara, something which was relevant for Yaakov Emden, certainly irrelevant for our Eis Tzara b'zman hazeh. But at his time, he thought that this was a good answer. The Chatzotzeres are only brought, only blown, for an Esara, where? In Eretz Yisrael, per se. And the question is, why would this be the case? Chatzotzeres is a mitzvah. You blow at a time when Kal Yisrael needs Tzara. The Rambam describes, the Chinuch explains, it's a form of tefillah. It's a form of tefillah praying to the Rabbanu Shalom. Why would this be a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz? Why would it be dependent on Beis HaMikdash? But why would it be dependent on Eretz Yisrael? Mitzvahs HaTluyos Ba'aretz are usually mitzvahs HaTluyos Bekarka. Mitzvahs that are dependent on the ground. What does Chatzotzeres have to do with Eretz Yisrael? This is the question I want to address, because this is not Rabbi Yaakov Emden alone. We find this answer given in the Rishonim, in the Ramban himself. Suggests that Chatzotzeres are only blown in Eretz Yisrael. Now, of course, there would be no excuse for us today, but I want to understand from a very, very fundamental perspective, why would it be only in Eretz Yisrael? But to understand this Ramban, we have to understand where the Ramban is coming from. The Ramban is addressing a very fundamental question with regards to this mitzvah, and I've been assuming, based on the nature, the wording of the pasuk, that what we are to blow be'esara is in fact chatzotzeres. The Torah is not unclear. The Torah is very clear. The Torah says you're going to blow be'ha'reyoisem be'chatzotzeres, says the Ramban, but it's not so simple. Why? Because there is a Gemara Mefureshes, a Gemara Meseches Tainis, that tells us, black and white again, b'mayim lasrina. So this shofar that we're going to blow, because there's a drought, because there's a famine, because there's a milchama, there's an esara, whatever it may be, we have to blow chatzotzeres, we have to blow shofar, we have to blow because that's what the Torah tells us. B'may masrina, what do we blow with? Now this seems to be a strange question. What do you mean, what do we blow with? The Torah told us we blow with chatzotzeres. It says the Gemara, b'may masrina, what do we blow with? The shofar. It's a Gemara, very clear, Maramachal number 8, Gemara Meseches Tainis. The blowing has to be done with a shofar. Now, it's a bit strange. The Torah says chatzotzeres. Why are we changing it to shofar? But the Rishonim are not so bothered, as chatzotzeres could be a general term, which includes any type of trumpet. A shofar is one of them. So the Gemara is clarifying what type of chatzotzeres, the type that is shofar. What is more bothersome is that it's against another Mefurish of Gemara, another explicit Gemara. The Gemara Meseches Rosh Hashanah is discussing the different types of tikiyos that Klal Yisrael does. And the Gemara tells us that in Beis HaMikdash, there would always be a shofar with chatzotzeres. Sometimes the Shofar was primary, the Chatzotzes were secondary. Sometimes the Chatzotzes were primary, the Shofar was secondary. There always was Shofar and Chatzotzes in Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, big bullet outside Beis HaMikdash, one or the other. Either Shofar or Chatzotzes, one or the other. Comes Rashi and says, well, which one? Shofar or Chatzotzes? Says Rashi, well, it depends. You have it in Mar Malkum number 10. Malkum Shiyesh Shofar, Kigoyin Rosh Hashanah V'Yoyvel. Outside Beis HaMikdash, Rosh Hashanah and Yoyvel, you blow Shofar. Outside Beis HaMikdash, Bishas Sorah, Kigoyin Taniyo, says Rashi, you blow Chatzot. A clear Gemara according to Rashi, the Rambam advances the same position. The Gemara is clear, explicit, that Be'ez Sorah, Be'tainis, Bimilchama, you blow outside Beis HaMikdash Chatzot. Come all the Rishonim Bikoil Echad and say, we have a stira, a clear stira in the Gemara. We have a Gemara in Tainis, you see it black and white, Mar Malkum, eh? B'may Masriyan, where we, what do we blow with? We blow with the Shofar. And we have a clear Gemara, Meseches Rosh Hashanah, Mar Malkum number 9, that what do we blow? Outside Eretz Yisrael, you blow with Chatzotzer. So before discussing why we aren't blowing, according to the Magen Avraham, first we have to ask the question, well, what should we be blowing with? Should we be blowing with a Shofar that we're somewhat familiar with? Or do we have to go to the Clay Mikdash Institute and try to figure out how to make Chatzotzeres? Are we supposed to be blowing with Chatzotzeres? It seems to be a clear stira contradiction in the Gemara, to which the Rishonim give many different explanations. The Rashi and the Rambam seem to understand that it's a machloikis in the Gemara, a stira in the Gemara, two different positions. We paskin outside Beis HaMikdash. Be'ez Sarah, Klal Yisrael does not blow Shofar. We do not paskin like the Gemara in Tainis. We paskin like the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. And the mitzvah says, say me the Raisa. Today, this man has said, there's a mitzvah says, say me the Raisa to blow Chatzotzes. In fact, with Moshe Feinstein and his Tshuva, why we're not blowing Chatzotzes, it says, because we don't really know what Chatzotzes are. He's assuming, like the Rambam and the Rashi, that the mitzvah is not the my mystery and the Shofar. The mitzvah is to blow the Rashba, entirely different position. Comes the Rashba and says, how do we have one Gemara that says Shofar and one Gemara that says Chatzotzes? Not like the Rambam that it's a machlekes. The Gemara never indicates that there's a machlekes about this, but rather says the Rashba, all the Gemara means is that you don't do both. In Beis HaMikdash, you would do both, whether it be Rosh Hashanah or Eis Tzara. Beis HaMikdash was always Tekiyas Shofar together with Tekiyas Chatzotzes. Comes the Rashi and says, the Gemara never means to be specific, particular, that it has to be either Chatzotzes or Shofar. All the Gemara means is one or the other. You decide. But it has to be one or the other. Only in Beis HaMikdash do they both come together. That's the position of the Rashba that you have in Mar Malkum 30. But what I want to stress, as I mentioned a moment ago, is the position of the Ramban. The Ramban, the Gedoyli Rishonim, before the Rashba, before the Ritva, before the Ram, one of the first ones to address this question. The Ramban says, how do we navigate the situation? We have a Gemara in Tainis that says, we blow Be'ez Sarah a Shofar. We have a Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that seems to be clear, we blow Be'ez Sarah Chatzotzes. Which one is it? Comes the Ramban and says, Machmas Doichak Hakash. It's such a powerful question. I'm forced to conclude as follows. You have it in Mar Malkum number 15. Let's read it inside. Underline. Ulefize, Yeshli Lidchoik Viloimar. Because of the strength of the question, Yeshli Lidchoik Viloimar. Dechatzoitzra is less nehu bigvulin, ela bishas milchama. Dechsiv kisavoyil milchama, chatzoitzra is. Says the Ramban, the Gemara in Tainis is correct, we blow Shofar. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is correct, we blow Chatzotzes. How do you navigate this discrepancy? They're talking about different types of Eis Sara. When it comes to the Eis Sara of Milchama, that requires quite specifically, as the Torah indicates, Bariyoisim Bechatzoitzis. When it comes to all other Esaras, a drought, famine, terrible disease, every Esar that Klal Yisrael experienced through its history, other than Milchama, that is with the Shekhar. Says the Ramban, it depends on what type of Esara you're referring to. You refer to a general Esara, Choyli, illness, Dever, whatever it may be, then we blow Shofar. But when it comes to Milchama, the Torah is clear, then we blow Chatzetzes. Now this Shita of the Ramban is quite perplexing because, as we mentioned just a few moments ago, the Torah never talks about any Esara other than Milchama. The only time we have a mitzvah of blowing Chatzetzes be'Esara is when the Torah refers to it in the context of Milchama. Chazal come and expound a darshan and broaden Milchama to all Esara. But that's all they're doing. They're taking this mitzvah which applies by Milchama and they are broadening it to apply to all Esara. If that's the case, how does Ramban see it possible to differentiate between Milchama and other Esara? The Torah only says it once. And the Torah says Milchama. Chazal want to say it applies to Esara, but what applies to Esara? The mitzvah of Milchama applies to Esara. Well, what's the mitzvah of Milchama? Chatzotzes. How do you come and say the mitzvah applies to other Esara? But we're going to change it a little bit by other Esara, by Shofar. Where does the Ramban see room for this? There's no discrepancy, there's no differentiation between Milchama in the Torah and every Esara. The Torah never even discusses Esara other than the Milchama. What emerges from the words of the Ramban is crucial to us, for us to understand. And that is the Ramban understood that when Chazal darshan, when Chazal are expounding and they broaden this concept of Milchama, they are not saying that this very mitzvah of Milchama applies to all Esav. They are expounding, they are darshaning that there is a new mitzvah, quite different than the mitzvah of Milchama, which applies to Esav. So according to most Rishonim, there is one mitzvah, the mitzvah of either Tkiyas Shofar or Tkiyas Chatzotzes, and it applies across the board to any difficult time Klal Yisrael is experiencing. According to the Ramban, there are two separate mitzvahs, Shtei Mitzvahs Nifrados, two entirely separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah is a mitzvah of Esara in general, drought, famine, dever, illness. That's a mitzvah b'shoifrus. The other mitzvah is a mitzvah b'shas milchama, and that's a mitzvah b'chatzotzeres. That's a mitzvah of chatzotzeres, and that is a separate mitzvah. Now, the question the Ramban is struck with is, if I am correct, what happens to the cases in the Torah where they don't seem to blow chatzotzeres? Continues the Ramban. And the Ramban says, we have an issue. Ubeperek Meshuach Milchama, take a look at the bottom of page 3. Gabi Milchemes Midian Dorish, Bechatzoitzreis Hatrua Biyodoi, Elu, says the Ramban, going out to page 4, Hashoifreis. Says the Gemara explicitly, when it came to Milchemes Midian, there's no greater holiday gift than being able to lecture your father on the... So Baruch Hashem, I got it just to give to my father as he just walked in. So there's a separate mitzvah according to the Ramban. There's the mitzvah of Shofres and the mitzvah of Chatzotzeres. The mitzvah of Shofres is all a sorrow. The mitzvah of Chatzotzeres is Milchama in particular. But now the Ramban is stuck. What about Midian? Midian, it's quite clear in the Gemara, they didn't blow Chatzotzeres. Was Midian not a Milchama? According to the Ramban's Hagdara, so Milchama requires Chatzotzeres. Other Esara, Shofres. Milchama requires Chatzotzeres. If that is the case, so then Milchem is Midian. Why are they blowing Shofres? The Gemara Mifureshes. In the Sechei Soita, that when it came to Milchemes Midian, they blew, but they blew Shofres. According to the Ramban, they blew the wrong thing. They're supposed to blow chatzaitzrei. Milchama requires chatzaitzrei. Comes the Ramban. There's another catch. Milchama gets chatzaitzrei, but only certain types of milchama that's in Eretz Yisrael. Only in Eretz Yisrael. Says Ramban. Below Yedati. Only in Eretz Yisrael. So you have a fascinating hagdara of the Ramban. There's a new mitzvah. There's one mitzvah of tekiya shofar be'es sarah. That's one din. There's a new mitzvah entirely unrelated. It's not even done with the same thing of tekiyas chatzaitzrayis be'es melchama. But this mitzvah of tekiyas b'chatzaitzrayis be'es melchama only applies to a melchama in Eretz Yisrael. And that's the question I want to investigate. Why is melchama different? And why, if melchama is in fact different, why is it only a melchama that takes place in Eretz Yisrael? Now you see, the Ramban used a very interesting term that I don't want us to lose sight of. When the Ramban first suggests this answer, he says, why is melchama different? Melchama is different because melchama is a tzara b'kinuf. Generally translated, b'kinufya means of the entire seaboard. Now, this is something which at first glance needs a little bit of explanation. There are many tzaras, right? COVID was the tzara of the entire world. This entire seaboard is certainly b'kinufya. So if you want to differentiate between a tzara that is a global tzara versus a specific tzara, say global tzara versus specific. But milchama, it sounds like the Ramban is definitionally, fundamentally saying milchama in Eretz Yisrael has a new status, a new category. You're not blowing shofar, you're just blowing chatzaitzrayis because it's done b'kinufya. This is a tzara b'kinufya. And it behooves us to understand what does the Ramban mean when he's telling us that the milchama is on an entirely different level. Milchama in Eretz Yisrael is not a regular tzara that Kal Yisrael is experiencing. It's a new type of tzara. It's an entirely different, not even necessarily in terms of the amount of the tragedy, the degree of the tragedy, but the nature of the es tzara is a new type of es tzara. It has a different position in halacha, a different gedder. It's a din b'fnei atzma called a tzara b'kenufya. And that's Milchemes Yisrael, but not all Milchemes Yisrael. Milchemes Yisrael, be'eretz Yisrael. And I'd like to explain and suggest the following understanding in the Ramban. Where the Ramban sees to differentiate between all tzaras and Milchemes Yisrael, be'eretz Yisrael. Well, let me give you a little bit of background of where I came to this understanding. We all are familiar with the fact that Rav Kook, Zeichet Tzadik HaKadosh Levracha, only a few months after he came to Eretz Yisrael, was asked to speak at an azkara for Herzl, who had just passed away. And they come to him in Yafo. He was the chief rabbi of Yafo at the time. Only a few months, 1904, a few months after he got there. And all the delegates, the diplomats, there from Eretz Yisrael, from Britain at the time, came and they asked him, would he speak at Herzl, this Azkara, this memorial for Herzl? It's well known to us that he did speak, but what he said at the time sometimes gets covered with the controversy that ensued. And what he said at the time is well known, but it really is the doctrine by which Rav Kook's entire career, if you will, his entire hanhaga of leadership of Klal Yisrael. You want to understand where he was coming from. Perhaps the clearest, most concise place to uncover that is in this hesped called Misbeh al Yeruv, Misbeh b'Yerushalayim. Now it's interesting because Rav Kook is often misunderstood in general, and in this very position, this very situation, he was misunderstood. We have a letter from Rav Kook that he wrote to his father-in-law, the Aderes, in the aftermath of the tremendous controversy. You could imagine that it was not met with such warm feelings, the fact that he was going to be masbid he was going to eulogize Herzl. And Rav Kook himself writes to his father. He says, first of all, I didn't eulogize Herzl. Anyone that was there knows I never even mentioned his name once. But he says, but that's not even the point. He says, do you think I wanted to be there? Do you think that I enjoy being there? Rav Kook said, do you think I enjoy being attacked by the entire world? Would it have been easier for me personally to say, you know, I'm not feeling well, I just got here, I have to take my kids to school, you know, my wife needs me at home, come up with an excuse. And these are the most powerful words to me in this letter. He says, of course I didn't want to be there, but I couldn't find the head there not to go. What Rav Kook is telling us is we view his position, the world views his position so often as a more lenient, more progressive. Rav Kook is saying, how do I have the right? I had this opportunity to present my position, my feelings to people who normally could care less about what Torah and mitzvahs think. And I have this opportunity, they're willing to hear what I have to say. And if I tell them I'm not coming, you could imagine what they would say, oh, these religious, fanatical people, and it would make this schism within Klal Yisrael broader. They'd have less respect for Torah and mitzvahs. They'd have less respect for Talmidei Chachamim. I have the right, because of my discomfort, to take that on my shoulders, to take the responsibility for that. There was no heter, says Rav Kook, for me to go. The world thinks Rav Kook was being Megill in his mind. There was no kula to be had. He had to go. Now this hesped, you really understand where he was coming from again, is in his entire approach. And he points to a Gemara in Meseches Megillah, a Gemara that we've all seen, but again, a Gemara which most of us run through or barely scratch the surface. The Gemara says that when Targum Yonasan ben Uzi, okay, to translate Nevi'im, Eretz Yisrael shook tremendously. It was a huge earthquake. Hizdaza ha'aretz. And the Gemara says, why? The Gemara says, Ribbono Shel Olam, a Paschal came out and says, who is revealing my secrets? Who gave you the right to translate Nevi'im? And the Gemara says, well, Targum Onkel is translated Torah. So if Torah could be translated, why can't Nevi'im be translated? Says the Gemara, because there are so many secrets, Sisrei Torah, that are hidden, embedded in the fabric of Nevi'im. Who gave you the right to reveal it until Targum Yonis, until Yonis and Benazil gets up and he says, I did it. But Yadua hu lefanecha, Rabbeinu Shalom, you know as well as I do, loy lichvidi, lichvidi. I didn't do it for my own company. I did it for your company. And then the Gemara says, so what are these great secrets? Now that we have the translation of Targum Yonis and Azil, we know the secrets. What are these great secrets? What psukim could we point to that have tremendous, tremendous insight that the Ribbono Shel Olam was concerned that these ought not to be translated? And the Gemara points the pasuk in Zechariah talking about a hesped. The Gemara tells us in Sukkah, at least according to one man, the Omer, it's referring to the Mizpeh, the Hesped of Mashiach ben Yosef. And Targum Yonis and ben Uzziel says, what is this great Mizpeh? Targum Yonis and ben Uzziel says, this Mizpeh, this Hesped of Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be like the Hesped of Achav and the Hesped of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Achav HaRosha, Achav the Oyver of Yedazara. His hesped combined with the hesped of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, Vayoyim Ahu, Yigdal HaMispeh B'Yerushalayim, that is going to be the nature of the hesped on Mashiach ben Yosef. And says Rav Kook, I don't understand what this means, but it doesn't seem to be tremendously secretive. It doesn't seem to be tremendously fundamental. This is the great Sisrei Torah, that there's going to be a hesped on Mashiach ben Yosef, the likes of the hesped on Achav together with Yoshiyahu HaMelech, and the world shook. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want this to be revealed. Ma pesher advarim, what? How do we understand? Says Rav Kook, there's a basic fundamental understanding that is woven through the entirety of Jewish history. From the Avos HaKadoshim ad Hayom HaZeh until today, the day that we sit here learning together. There's a notion throughout Machsheves Yisrael, but usually we understand it as a personal, individual concept. We all know that we are comprised of different chalok and different aspects. There's a guf and there's a neshama. That's the bracha of Asher Yotza, who mafli lasso his toys, says the ability of the Rebbeinu Shalom to have this tremendous composite of guf together with neshama, a chelek elokam the mal that is willing to stay shrouded, hidden within the most base physical elements of our guf. Says Rav Kook, but it's not only the individual members of Klal Yisrael that have guf and neshama. Klal Yisrael as a whole is comprised of guf and neshama. We're made, we're a composite. There are two aspects. There's the guf of Klal Yisrael, the physical elements of Klal Yisrael, that which we have in common with every nation, the government we need, the country we need, the roads, the buildings, the guf of Klal Yisrael is as essential to Klal Yisrael, but then there's the neshama of Klal Yisrael, which differentiates us from all other nations. And the guf without the neshama is the death of Klal Yisrael. But the neshama without the guf is also the death of Klal Yisrael. Says Rav Kook, this is why in Klal Yisrael we have two malachim. We have the Melech Yisrael and Melech Yehuda. What happened at that point when there was this division in Klal Yisrael? There was a division between the guf and the neshama. Melech Yehuda and Melech Yisrael. And says Rav Kook, Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef is this very division. Mashiach ben Yosef represents is the leader of the guf of Klal Yisrael. Masbir is Koil Ha'aretz. That was Yosef Atzad. But the neshama of Klal Yisrael, that's Malchus Beis David, it's Melech Yehuda. And in this past week's parasha of Yigash Elav Yehuda was this confrontation between the guf and the neshama, ultimately leading to their embrace. I see this, again, as I mentioned, could be plotted throughout our history. In fact, the Sfarno indicates that this is what Yaakov Avinu, this is what Yitzchak Avinu thought, that Yaakov would be the neshama of Klal Yisrael, and Esav would be the guf of Klal Yisrael. And that's where Yitzchak had this vision of Yaakov and Esav working together. And then ultimately, Esav obviously defects and it no longer works. And then within Yaakov, we understand that there's going to be both elements of guf and neshama. Take a look at the Rebbein Bechaya in this week's parsha. Rebbein Bechaya says, why does Yaakov have two names, Yaakov and Yisrael? Because Klal Yisrael has two aspects. There's the guf of Klal Yisrael, the physicality, the physical elements, the nationhood of Klal Yisrael, that is represented by the Shem Yaakov. And then Klal Yisrael has Nishmas Yisrael, the neshama of Klal Yisrael. That's Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu marries Rachel and Leah. Leah was destined to Esav. What Chazal mean is that Leah was to bear the children that would take care of, to take care of the guf. But Rachel would bear the children to take care of the neshama. A longer discussion how that switched and why that switched. But when we talk about Mechiras Yosef, it's much more than just some brothers rebelling against their brother. What they're dividing between is the guf of Klal Yisrael and the neshama of Klal Yisrael. And it's not really the place here to go into, but the Maharal and the Malbim say that in the end of days there's going to be an attack on Klal Yisrael from Yishmol together with Esav. Because just like Klal Yisrael has a guf and a neshama, their guf is attacked by Esav. Their neshama is attacked by Yishmol. Yishmael comes with a philosophy. They're willing to do anything. The emunah that Yishmael has and what they believe, they attack our Yishmael. Esau attacks the wolf. The end of days, says the Maral, says the Malbim, Esau and Yishmael joined forces. Rachmana Litzlan. The news of today doesn't seem to be so far off. Where you have the Western world, perhaps the greatest representation of the Western world of Esau is the Pope himself, seemingly sympathizing with Yishmael. These are the words of the Maral. You have a combination of Esau and Yishmael because Klal Yisrael is attacked both on the level of Guf and on the level of Nisham. Malchus Yisrael, Malchus Yehuda. Yoshiyahu HaMelech certainly was the Melech Yehuda, Melech Ben David. He brought all of Klal Yisrael back. He took charge of the Neshama of Klal Yisrael. Now, Achav certainly ignored the Neshama of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara even discusses whether it's a Chelek and Olam Haba. The Neshama of Klal Yisrael was not primary focus of Achav, no doubt. But says Rav Kol, take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin of how it describes the love Achav had for every member of Klal Yisrael. The love he had for building up Eretz Yisrael, Moisif Ir Achaz Bi Yisrael. Achav represents Mashiach Ben Yosef. Kimis Ben Yerushalayim, you know the great secret that was revealed on that day. That Klal Yisrael are unique, Klal Yisrael are different. We have a guf and we have a nisham. And we may sometimes prefer all we needed was a guf like the Umas HaOlam. But our guf without the neshama means the death of Klal Yisrael. And some groups in Klal Yisrael may prefer that all we needed was the neshama without the guf. But a neshama of Klal Yisrael without the guf also is the death of Klal Yisrael. We can't function properly if all we have is the guf without the neshama. And we can't function if all we have is the neshama without the guf. And when we see times in Klal Yisrael where the guf of Klal Yisrael and those that represent the guf of Klal Yisrael and the neshama of Klal Yisrael and those that represent the neshama of Klal Yisrael seem to be drifting apart, this is cuts to the core of the survival of Klal Yisrael. Rav Kook writes, that to bring us back together, sometimes what's needed is a defining moment where we realize that we're one entity. The guf needs the neshama, and the neshama needs the guf. And that defining moment is often, tragically, a melchama. Because it's during the time of melchama where we most appreciate who we are and what we are. But this milchama ought to be fought on both realms. A milchama of Yisrael is not fought the guf alone, and a milchama of Klal Yisrael cannot be fought the neshama alone. A milchama of Klal Yisrael must engage the guf of Klal Yisrael, and simultaneously the neshama of Klal Yisrael has to be engaged. The battlefront is on both levels. If Klal Yisrael engages in battle with their guf alone, they lose the battle. If Klal Yisrael says, we don't need to engage on the level of guf, we'll just stay in the base medrash, all we need is the neshama, we'll also lose the battle. For Klal Yisrael to fight the battle, to fight Milchemes Yisrael, it's different than every other milchama of every other nation in the world. Because we are composed of a guf and neshama, it means our milchamas must be fought on the level of guf and neshama. Guf is quite obvious. You must, unfortunately, bear arms, go out to the battlefront. But what does it mean to fight on the level of neshama? That means to bring the Rebbeinu Shel Olam into the milchama as well. That's what the Torah is telling us. To blow the chatzotzos. Chisavoyel milchama ba'artz. When a milchama comes to your borders, The Torah tells us our battle, our victory in battle is dependent on these chatzoitzres. Because if you don't have these chatzoitzres, you haven't successfully brought the Rebbeinu Shalom into the battle. Without the chatzoitzres, you're fighting a battle like every other nation in the world. Your guf is fighting the battle. You left the neshama behind. To bring the neshama, to bring the neshama to the battlefield, says the Torah, Bahariyoisen bechatzoitzros, you blow the chatzoitzros, v'nishtartem lifnei Hashem, that draws the Rebbeinu Shalom into the battle, v'noishatem hayoydechem, and that will lead to your success. Then it's a battle of guf and neshama. That's a battle Kali Yisrael could win. See, the chatzoitzros of Milchama are quite different. The feeder and ban to the shayfras of every other Eistzara. Every other Eistzara, we daven, the shayfra represents our davening. And to enhance our davening, like on Rosh Hashanah, we blow a shayfra. But when it comes to Milchama, it's not just about to daven to the Rebbeinu Shalom to save us. It's that part of our effort, part of the battle, is that our neshama has to be engaged in as well. And that's represented by chatzoitzers, hashros hashchim, the chatzoitzers of karbonos, the chatzoitzers of the moving of the mishkan, bringing the Rebbeinu Shalom into our battle. And this is an effort which is a daunting task, because the nature of milchama, by definition, is one that you must think that it's dependent on you. How difficult it is to engage in a battle and not fall prey to the mentality of koichi ve'oitzim yodi. Think about this, Rabbi Yisrael. In the Midbar, surrounded by Anone Yaakov, Mon falling, a be'er following them. The Gemara tells us that the Klal Yisrael fell prey to the machshava, the thought of koichi ve'oitzim. They were in the Midbar, they just witnessed Kriyas Yamsuf. But until they saw the Yadayim Shel Moshe, then they were engaged in a battle of guf alone without neshama. And they started to lose. You see how delicate the situation is. The moment Yadayim Shel Moshe would go down, says the Gemara, they would forget about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and they would engage on the level of guf. They would begin losing the battle. To be engaged in Milchama and not to fall prey to the thought of Koichi Ba'oitim Yadei. It's quite a task. And for us to expect that of those on the battlefield is unfair and unrealistic. But there are many of us who, as I mentioned before, do not have the schus of being on the battlefield in a physical sense, to be fighting the war of the guf. It's our responsibility to fight the war of the neshama. See, often we make a mistake. We feel guilty saying that our part is playing a role because our sacrifice pales in comparison. But what that does for us often is has us fall into this sense of, well, if I'm not sacrificing to the extent that my brothers and sisters, sons and daughters are sacrificing. So then we take this next fatal step. So what am I really doing? What am I really doing? Am I really part of it? And that's a fatal error. Because Klal Yisrael's battles are fought. Beguf. And if you don't have this chus to be fighting the guf, then it behooves us to be fighting the neshama. It's not like every other area where for a zechus, le'ilui nishmas, a zechus for a Yeshua, we're engaged in the battle. And just like a soldier can't let his guard down for a moment. You know, pointed out to some of my balabatim, it's interesting how fatigue has set in our community of Azabat us in Chutzlar. But fatigue doesn't set out on the battlefield. They're just as vigilant as they were before. Why? We can't afford to be fatigued. If we viewed ourselves as fighting the war on the level of Nisham, we couldn't afford to be fatigued. We couldn't afford to miss one Shmoyna Esrei without thinking about the mothers, the fathers, the children. We couldn't afford to take out a phone during davening. You imagine a person, a sniper, sitting there on top of a roof in Gaza wanting to check the news in the middle of the war just to see what's going on. You can't lose sight of it for a second. If we believed we were playing a role in the Milchama on the level of Neshama, our lives would be very different. Our Shemayna Esrei would be very different. Our learning would be very different. Fatigue would never be able to set in. Because we're fighting for our lives. We're fighting for our existence. This is not a tkiya to daven to the Rebbeinu Shel that he saves us. This is playing an active role in the battle, a role which is not a great sacrifice, but it's just as essential. A role that the Torah itself says that this role will lead to v'noishatem me'oyvichem, will lead to the victory in battle. Grown accustomed to some very, very tragic concept. The nature of human being can get used to anything. Get used to Rachmana Litzlan, turning on our phones after Shabbos, seeing faces, Rachmana Litzlan, sons, fathers. And as time goes on, this is something that Rachmana Litzlan more. We have to view every face, not only as a person was a father, a person was a brother, was a child, but we failed that person. He didn't fight hard enough. If we're engaged in this battle and we believe it, then the success is our success. Failure is our failure as well. Every face we see is a failure of us to fight. Failure of us fighting on the level of Guf, and the failure of us fighting on the level of Nisham. You know, it's fascinating. The Ramban, Rani Yazdaiti, when trying to express to us this idea that the Chatzoitzris of Milchama is a new concept. It's the concept that represents the neshama of Kal Yisrael going out to battle together with the Guf. He uses a very interesting word. He says, this is a tzara b'kinufi. Why doesn't he say, it's a tzara's harab, tzara's hatsim? There's one other place in Shas where this word kinufi is used in the context of Korban Pesach. Now, the Gemara doesn't call Korban Pesach a Korban Tzivur. It says a Korban that is Bob B'Kinufia. Why? Because it's a unique Korban Tzivur. It's a Korban Tzivur, but not one is brought for the entire nation, but rather, it's every individual brings it. So what makes it a Korban Tzivur? That you're bringing a Korban Pesach attaches you to the Tzivur, creates it. Bob B'Kinufia means that it creates the Tzivur. If the Korban Pesach creates the tzibur and the level of Nisham, I'm signing up to be a part of Knesset Yisrael. The Ramban is telling us, Milchama creates the tzibur on the level of Guf. It's Bal B'Kinufi. It doesn't matter how many people are engaged. It's not a Tzaras Haravim. More people are affected by COVID. It doesn't make a difference. This is a definitional moment for Kal Yisrael. If you want to be part of Kali Yisrael, then you are engaged in this tzara. this Torah is creating who Klal Yisrael is on the level of Guf and the level of Neshama. It's for this reason that I think the Ramban really understands the entire essence of Melchama and Melchemes Mitzvah differently than Rav Rishayim. We don't have time to get into a lengthy discussion, but there is a brilliant, brilliant insight of Rav Gorin Zecher Hilta. Gorin is most often known for his controversial Piskei Halacha, which there were no shortage of. But in addition to those, Rav Gorin had brilliant Chidushei Torah. Gorin was Mishichmo Umala in terms of his stature of Talmud Chacham. And Gorin published, I believe, in the 1960s, a fascinating essay where he argued that Ramban and Rambam view the entire nature of Melchemes Mitzvah entirely. And the main crux of the main point of departure for Gorin is a machlekes between the Rambam and the Ramban, which he plots through as being a machlekes between Yerushalmi and Babli in numerous places, a brilliant, brilliant Bar Torah. But the main point of departure, says Rav Gorin, is a fascinating machlekes Rambam and Ramban. When a person, when Klal Yisrael engages in the Zion Amim, in Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua came to be Koivish Eretz Yisrael. Did they have to offer peace to the seven nations of Canaan? The Rambam says, absolutely. You can't be engaged in a Mochama until you offer the possibility of peace. The Ramban says, that's true, with the exception of Melchemes Mitzvah. The Torah wonders, what's the difference between the Ramban? Why is the Ramban saying that there's no peace in such a situation? And the Rambam is saying, of course, there has to be peace. And he develops a brilliant insight that the Rambam understands Melchama, Melchemes Mitzvah, as a Melchama of the Jewish people, defining the Jewish people. Melchemes Mitzvah is protecting the Jewish people from their enemies. And therefore, if you wave the white flag and you're willing to live in peace with our rules, we have no right, that's not a Melchemes Mitzvah, because the Jewish people aren't in danger. But the Ramban, Kedarko Bakoitish, understands Melchemes Mitzvah entirely. According to the Ramban, Melchemes Mitzvah is about Eretz Yisrael. It's about a mitzvah of kibush Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, yes, with most milchamas, it's true, I have to offer peace. But when it comes to Melchemes Mitzvah, the idea is that Eretz Yisrael is ours. Why is this the case? Because as we mentioned, the Ramban Shita is that a milchama is creating the essence of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is a neshama, and Klal Yisrael is a guf. But this guf of Klal Yisrael, this organism, this physical entity that we refer to as Knesset Yisrael, Klal Yisrael as a unit, a guf, says the Maharal, we often think of it as a solid, but that's a big mistake. Klal Yisrael is one entity, but it's a liquid. You know what a liquid needs? A liquid needs a clay kibul to maintain a unit. It needs a cup to hold. You know what our clay kibul is? Eretz Yisrael. For the Ramban, the existence of Klal Yisrael, Melchemes Yisrael, creating that nature of Klal Yisrael, is all about Eretz Yisrael. For the Ramban holds that you could offer peace to anyone you want, but in Eretz Yisrael, this is for Klal Yisrael. That's a Melchemes Mitzvah. You have to engage in this battle. The level, the realm of physicality, and the heavy, heavy price that we're paying on that work, on that front. But we have to engage, for us, on the level of Mishon. And that means to view ourselves as an active participant, not to make ourselves feel good, not because that equates us Chalila, but because that gives us a responsibility. Gives us an awesome responsibility. Gives us a responsibility that we bear the ability to win this war or to lose this war. And when Kali Yisrael fights with the body alone, with the guf alone, we lose. And when Kali Yisrael fights with the neshama alone, we lose. All of a sudden in Eretz Yisrael, we see the neshama and the guf of Kali Yisrael growing closer and closer together, as Milchama will often do. And it's our job to play that role, play the role of neshama, fighting on the level of neshama, fighting this battle for the Jewish people, for Kali Yisrael. With that, Be'ezus Hashem, we will fight, we will do our part. Be'ezus Hashem, we will see the kiyum of the pasuk. Rebbeinu Shlomo tells us that when you fight on the level of guf, you fight on the level of neshama, you bring the Rebbeinu Shlomo into the battle. And that's a real realization and a recognition that the Rebbeinu Shalom is fighting this battle for us. I remember my reaction, and I wasn't the only one, at least where I was when we found out. My first reaction, and many around me as well, with Israeli intelligence, it's really possible. That is a symptom of us falling prey, fighting battles with the world. Our job is to make sure that those that are being moiser nefesh, fighting for the guf of Kali Yisrael, have a neshama behind them. The Rebbeinu Shlomo promises us, if the neshama of Kali Yisrael is on the battlefield, bring that neshama, you bring that hashras hashchina, you'll be saved from your enemies. Can you hear also? May we see this day quite soon in our times.